Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Okay, great. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains and Catherine Dager.
Hello. Hi, brains.
All right, we are at the spot. We're at your residence. This is the place. Let me get my pointer so you know where you are. You're at the place where the conversation is what? Pointed, and the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. I'm going to start giving a prize. Whoever gets that right, I'm going to hook you up. You know I got theater tickets, all kinds of stuff. Where you at, Catherine? You in California, right?
Yes. Santa Monica, California.
Girl, you got to come down to San Diego. I will hook you up. I got one of my other guests coming, and it's about to be ridiculous.
I'll be down in San Diego in a couple of weeks for my brother lives there. So we have a holiday party.
You ain't going to call me. If you call me, we going to feature you all on the
end. I would love that.
Girl, we have some fun here. But we're going to have some fun with you, brains, because we're going to talk about some corporate culture, some business operations. That's a cleanser over there. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about it. But she's a master consultant when it comes to relationships and dynamics and human resources and corporate meshing. And I want to talk to her because now we are in 2022 and folks don't want to go back to work. So what is a corporate culture? Kindness. I hear that that's coming back. Anti-bullying, the remote workforce. How are you going to be a valuable independent contributor to an organization? Oh, we got a laundry list, brains, to talk about today. You know, it's a lot going on. And if you want to go back and do the W-2, I'm not mad at you. Okay.
Exactly. But let's make that W-2 shine. Let's make it full of aliveness and innovation and collaboration. It doesn't have to be duller than dirt. And what I notice and I see all over is this talent war that we're a part of now, because labor shortage and people, like you said, they went off, started their own businesses. If they're not treated beautifully, they have options. And everybody woke up to a different world during the pandemic. And now people are choosing, and I think it's a good thing, they're choosing more powerfully for themselves. Like what kind of
they want flexibility, but they need to keep that coin.
They do.
They have to think about their benefits. Okay. Yeah. You have to think about Social Security. You know, you want a vacation because it's a trickery. It's a big $25 word, brains, called entrepreneur, but you can end up entrepreneur.
Okay? Exactly.
And you're a risk taker, but you've got to be able to have some multiple streams of revenue. So we're going to talk about that. But before we get started, Catherine, tell us a little bit about your experience and how you show up in the world, precious.
Okay, thank you. Because I'm just a girl from the Valley for sure, from San Fernando.
You're a Valley girl?
I'm a Valley woman, whatever you call it.
Who does that? What Valley are you from? Because I'm from
San Fernando Valley. I was raised in Reseda.
Come on.
I'm a Karate Kid one, right?
I was at the Reseda skating rink every weekend.
We probably saw each other there. I love that place.
Girl, I might have to silence you because you got all these secrets, but go ahead. Can you tell us?
So it was like Pleasantville. You know, everybody was a family, there were neighborhoods, and so I remember, when I was 11 years old, you know, I have a brother a year older, sister 1 year younger, and another one 7 years younger. And we had this picture perfect little world, but I knew there was just garbage going on inside of my parents' marriage. They were really struggling. So when I was 11, my mom took off with another man.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, she did.
And Mom flew the coop.
Mom flew the coop. And my baby sister was 3.
Oh, man.
And I was the oldest girl. My brother is a year older, but he still 14 and he hasn't ever grown up. And that's okay. So I had to learn. Well, and I had this huge, huge urge to keep the kids together. I could see my mom taking the baby with her. And I'm like, no, we need to keep this. And I felt like a mama bear. So what I did, honestly, April, is I went to my dad and I said, I will do whatever it takes to keep our family, our kids together. Let mom go do what she needs to go do. Let it go. But we do that. So I will do whatever it takes to learn how to cook and to get everybody ready for school and get him ready for work. So I took that on at 11 years old. And wow. I'll tell you what. It was the most painful. It was like I call it my early boot camp. It was like, it was one challenge after the other. I burnt a lot of peas and I made 30-minute spaghetti more times than I want to tell you, but I still love cooking. And after 2 years of doing all of this, I just found, and I've also stayed really close to source. I stayed really close to God.
Really? 11, 12?
I did, because I didn't have functional parents that were teaching me. So I said, hey, I'll do whatever it takes. So courage was not something I would ever have said. That's what I showed that. And I learned leadership at that age. Right. And the truth is, I remember 3 o'clock in the morning going in to make sure my baby sister was still breathing. Mm. I was terrified that something would happen on my watch. And I just took such good care of the kids, and we're all so close.
But the responsibility that you learned from that, you transferred that over into your corporate world.
Exactly.
And how'd that map
over? Exactly. So what happens is we actually created this culture within our family. And I tell you, my dad's best role in his whole life, because he was never big and he's not an ambitious guy. He's 95 now. You would just still cooking with all burners.
Hey, he ain't no chump.
No, he isn't.
And from the valley, and he's still 95.
Still 95, and he's doing great. But what we stayed together because we had a common purpose. Mm. We had a common goal, and that is we're linking arms. We're going to take our love out into the world, but we're going to keep it burning at home, keep everything working. So we became a team, and we ended up having some ground rules because my brother stopped being bossy about when's dinner ready. You know, it's like, you come in and make dinner, and then you tell us when it's ready.
He tried to bark some orders at you?
He was just doing the, macho man thing. But the truth is, we together, the four of us, are still so close. And my baby sister, she has 8 children.
Ooh, she's doing too much.
And to tell you what, I she's the most nurturing mom on the planet, without a doubt.
But we want to talk a little bit about how you translate all of that into business.
You betcha.
Kind of structuring that and building teams. Because
yes.
Let's look at the HR kind of thing. And this is back in my memory. I don't even remember the last time I worked in a corporate setting, but you have to be on the grind. Okay, so you're in a corporate environment now where it's been moved off site. You're working from home. You've got to prove to your boss that you are really working and that there's value in what they're paying you. Now all the company's proprietary information is off site. You got liability. Somebody can get carpal tunnel because they're in the bed instead of sitting at their desk.
Right.
but also team building. This virtual stuff only goes so far.
Well,
I remember my corporate experience. I was a corporate trainer. Oh, for some big wigs. Oh, I was an outreach coordinator. So I know what it is to build a team. But you want to build a team that has an investment in your organization.
Yes, exactly.
They want to be a stakeholder. How do you create that kind of environment now virtually?
So first of all, I don't believe that in 4 generations, we have one set of values. I think every generation has their own set of values. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned to do I went back and got my master's in psychology, 20 something years ago, because I realized it's a laboratory of human behavior whenever you're working with people. But assuming that certain people have what we used to call common sense, ridiculous because they didn't grow up the same way I did at a dinner table in Reseda. They grew up with their own technical skills and knowledge, their own values, their group of friends become family. I mean, everything's changed. So the culture that I bring on is celebrating diversity, celebrating different points of view, listening to each other. And that's where trust really starts building. So instead of me being the leader that says, okay, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it. No, I ask the team, how would you get this done? You tell me. You tell me what's going on. You tell me how you see it. And did you know that 86% of all inventions are actually happening from frontline employees, especially during COVID? The frontline employees figured out, wow, how do we make deliveries? How do we do this? And they're figuring out the hybrid team. So instead of going in there with some obnoxious old-fashioned leadership stuff that doesn't work, it's like, let's create it and generate it together. So we all, it's a level playing field. It's not hierarchical.
Yeah, it's not anymore. You know,
everything, everybody's a part of it.
There's some upheaval now. There's some brouhaha. You know, I'm a shareholder in Starbucks, and Starbucks just unionized yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Bravo. Now, you know, it's double-edged sword for me, but I always look at that. I was a union steward when I was in the grocery industry. I understand organized labor. How do you show your boss that you are contributing? Okay, so you're this big cheerleader, rah, rah, and we're working on this project, and we're getting this done. But when it comes down to evaluation time, how do I pick that down tactically so that I can get a raise?
Okay, so as a person that has a stake in the business, I start off in the onboarding with knowing what my purpose is and given enough information and training so that we actually know this is what good looks like here. And these are the behaviors that drive results. Right. If you don't do those behaviors,
I hate to interject, right? I hate to interject, but before you go any further, that's the big word, training.
Yes.
Training is not what it used to be at any level, you know?
Yesterday, Philip, my fiance, and I went out for dinner, and there was two gals serving our table, and one of them was brand new. And the other one was the person that had worked there, and they were shadowing. And it's like that young lady she was terrified. Mm. And she had somebody watching her and telling her that you didn't do that. You didn't put the napkins under the drinks when it was like, don't do this and don't do that. It was like whack-a-mole.
I love that to this day. When I get frustrated, I go and I get one of those.
No, you just whack them all. But you know what? It's done non-verbally, and it makes the person not want to come back after lunch on their first day.
I know.
I've
walked out too. Now, I have just had enough, and I said, you know what? Let me get my purse.
Yeah. Exactly. So what I develop with as partnering with companies is customized, and we develop their own training system that is self-teaching. So they have to, before they hit the floor, they've got to know certain levels of product knowledge, like what are the most asked questions that customers have. So that at least they have some level of confidence. Also, I let them learn on their own, because I've learned as a master in psychology and neurosciences, you can't learn from someone else. You got to teach yourself. Mm-hmm. That's when we change, and the statistic will blow you away. When we teach ourselves our job and we go through it and no one's watching. So it's really dignified.
Because how you treat your employees is how they're going to treat your end user, your customer.
Yeah.
Well, and it comes full circle.
Yes. And what really needs to happen, more than us having the answers as the leaders or as the managers, we need to have that knowledge and the information inside of the person so that they know how to make decisions. They know how to respond in any situation. So we're building their confidence. You can't do that by telling them stuff. So what the self-teaching is, we look at how do you greet someone physically, and we break it into behavior. So if you say greet every customer, how many ways can that be interpreted?
Right.
And it does get interpreted on their comfort level, right? If they never did it before, they're just going to go, hey, that's a greeting. But we define it to eye contact, smile, and hello within 10 seconds or 10 feet.
Wow. That's, you know, what do you think about older individuals re-entering the workforce? I know people that are still in their 70s that are still working. And, you know, and then in relationship to the millennials, because as you clearly stated, there's two different learning styles. There's four generations within one organization, and each one brings value, you know, in a different way. But there's a lot of older, mature individuals that are going back into the workspace. Are organizations ready for that? Because we're looking at a lot of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's
exactly. And if they build a culture that's structured, that has an orderly way, like you're talking about Starbucks and a unionization, what they do is they have a system. And what we want to do with every company, small companies and big companies, is what's our onboarding? Let's make it formal. Let's make it so everybody gets the same deal. Also, bringing all four generations together to hear each other and different points of view is so enriching. One of my favorite sayings was Andrew Carnegie said, if two minds think alike, one of them isn't necessary.
Oh, wow. That's brilliant.
Isn't that fabulous?
I love that.
For me, when you bring all four generations together and give them a format, which I do a stand-up brainstorming on a whiteboard, they all get on their feet, which energizes them and connects them with their right brain and intuition. And they all ponder one question and just throw all their thoughts and ideas to it. And all of a sudden that collaboration becomes, this is what we're going to do today. This is how we're going to do it. Right. And it's not a burden. It's not somebody sitting in an office making the schedule and doing the to-dos for the day. Right. There's no inclusion in that. There's
got to be some innovation.
No agreement.
You know, even now, a lot of the online trading is requiring gamification as a component, because they want to keep people active. And they want to give them their own, what do you call it, avatar.
Right, exactly.
It's a different structure. It's a different game. But
you know what? If you get people together, they can create a game out of everything they've got to do. There are just a few pieces to create a game. So I teach companies how to create games around every task and about learning.
But a lot of times you don't get the top to buy into all of this.
And you know what?
How do you do that? How do you build? For example, we're just using the current unionization. You know, now there's a whole different bargaining chip here. You really have a seat at the table.
Yeah.
You know? And so how do you get management to buy into that? Because they have to do their own work as well.
Well, we position the management as the subject matter expert. So I'm the facilitator of what they want. They don't know how to put the words together. They don't know how to identify behavior. So that's where my skills work so well, to help them define in behaviors the core values. Like accountability is a core value. You know, that that I'm going to make and keep my agreements. That's what accountability looks like.
Okay.
And we put together what they want, what they know is running their business. And it's got to be customized to fit them, or else it's just like something from Starbucks that somebody plunked in on top of them, and they'll never buy into any of that.
Well, there had to be some strategy there. Now, you can't convince a whole bunch of people to go unionize unless there's some, you know, there's some meat on the table.
And benefit.
All right, so now you're talking about the beautiful, rosy, perky world. What about mergers and acquisitions, bringing two companies together? That's a whole different ball of wax. It's like...
Well, here you go. You've got to have a bigger purpose when you've got two, and I've done this so many times, because sometimes my clients have such success, they want to buy their competitor. So I've got United States bought Russia, and we've got now what do we do? But if you go in with the same really open concept and say, what do we all really want? And then you get their voice in it. Everything is about getting them to show up, hearing them out. And what I have people do, it sounds so challenging, but it's simple. When you're brainstorming, have the person facilitating write down everything people are saying word for word. So there's no sabotage. There's nothing, you're not guiding them to an answer. You're really getting a pure perception of for each person. And oh my gosh, miracles happen when people start adding their thoughts.
I used to love that. You'd be in a event and you'd have all of these, the
flip charts.
Yeah.
I've had them taped on the wall and hundreds of people.
Absolutely. So that you can go back and you can read. And you can engage, you can break off into small groups, you present to the larger group, it gives you a way to really be open in a non-judgmental way. And the greatest ideas come from this. I want to ask you another quick question, really, before we conclude, about your 3-day business culture fest. What is that about?
Oh my, it's yummy. First of all, I love a good party. So we're going to make a festival out of this. And the other thing is, before they come to the Culture Fest is there to get all of their cultural pieces put together in 3 days instead of 3 months. So we give them what I call the audacious business audit, which is, let's look at the dead zones in your business right now. Like, how alive? Where's the life? Where's the pulse? How alive is the mission statement? How important are your policies? Are they even being...
Are they still doing mission statements?
Yeah. And usually they have nothing updated, nothing current. And so this Business Culture Fest, I bring all the templates from my treasure trove of working with hundreds of individual companies. And they bring a person from their business, and it's like phone a friend, but you're right there with them. And they build their own culture and with the onboarding, and then the core values, and we put the core values into a training model so they can take it right back and implement it. And that we are bringing companies together from all different industries. And that's fascinating because, again, we get to learn from each other.
It is. So, and I mean, you have so many people. You've got a lot of people that have left the educational space, mm-hmm. You have a lot of people that have left the medical space, mm-hmm. right now, restaurants.
Yep.
So they're looking for fresh ideas, brains, and diversity, equity, and inclusion is on everybody's tongue. Number one, you better learn your pronouns.
Oh, I know.
Or that's going to be an HR nightmare. Reach out for somebody different. You never know. This person might have been in a restaurant and wanted to be an accountant and has some accounting credits. Open it up. Don't be so narrow, because now when they go through your resumes, these algorithms are looking for certain keywords, editing and filtering. You're missing a treasure trove of great talent. And in that,
it's so true. And the other part is that we need to see the person physically, because 85 to 90% of our communication is nonverbal.
Right.
So, you can't read a person from a friggin' resume. It just isn't, that's Absolutely. Not who they are. Absolutely. So it's like you see, and I teach how to actually read people's minds by watching their behavior and watching how they, and knowing what values they come equipped with and which ones they don't. And that can differentiate whether you're going to make them a candidate or say, we are not going to let that one come in. So there's just a lot. It's an awareness and it's a reinforcement. And the other thing that I like, the 3-day Culture Fest, they'll go back and mentor. I'll teach them how to mentor this new environment so that they can make it hum, and then they can accomplish anything because they'll know how to implement anything. So Absolutely. 3 days is like a magical get her done and come back with everything fresh and new.
So how do they get in contact with you? How do they sign up for that?
So I can give you my email address, but also my website. And I have an actual link for the 3-day Business Culture Fest if they're interested. And I also do some leadership courses 3 or 4 times a year.
Okay, so what's your email address? I'm going to put it at the back, but you want to give them your email address or yes. your website. What's the name of it?
Profitivityinc.com.
Profitivity.
It's profit through productivity. So Profitivityinc. Is the name of my business.com.
.com.
Right. 35 years of doing this and having amazing results.
I'm sure you are because you're on the edge. Absolutely. Yeah. You're here on the edge with me and my brains. And it's a great opportunity for you to revisit. You may think you think what the employees want is not what they want. This is a way to open up dialogue. This is the way to maybe find some great people. You know, there's only so many recruiters that you can have. But thank you so much, Catherine Daeger, for being on the edge with me and my brains. Brains, I need you to go in and like, love, share all of these great interviews, this great information. You know, to get your mind right, get your money right, just to have something to do. Thanks so much, Catherine. And when Thank you come down to San Diego, you let me know.
Girl. I'll let you know.
And we'll go to one of these Starbucks and maybe we can create some beef.
That sounds great. All right. Thank you very much. Have great holidays.
All right. Bye, brains.
Bye.